everybody. Welcome to No Show. I'm Matt Brown, joined as always by Jeff Borman. Our guest today, Ned Barker, is a hotel industry veteran and principal of Grill Ventures International. Before that, he was VP Food and Beverage for IHG, and he is an expert in everything hotel related, from market studies to concept development to operations assessments. He contributes to industry publications. He presents awards. He's appeared on CNN. He does workshops and webinars. There's nothing he can't do. He's also part of a team that developed Holiday Inn's Express Start Buffet, and it's a model that it has affordably fed millions of people over the last two decades. Road warriors, business travelers, every traveling youth sports team in America. And he absolutely leveled up the state of hotel buffets, and he probably saved buffets from oblivion. That's no joke. And we are pleased as punch to have him as a guest on the show today to talk about the past, present, and future of the hotel buffet. Ned, welcome to No Show. He's with us today from Palm Springs. First things first, let's get the important question out of the way. What's the most famous or what's your favorite house in Palm Springs that you've visited on tour?
Oh, well, the Kaufman House is here, which just sold for $18 million or something like that. And I haven't toured it, but I've seen enough pictures and walked by it enough times that I feel like I have. And most people believe it's an equivalent, if not better, than Falling Water in Pennsylvania. And of course, that's our opinion here. Kaufman, the department store guy from Pennsylvania, owned both homes and commissioned Wright to do both homes. Richard Neutra did this home. And because Kaufman was pissed off at Wright about the Falling Water, because he procrastinated. It's a long story. I won't bore you with that.
Well, didn't he also famously, the family only had one request for Falling Water, and so that the house would have a view of the water, and at no point can you see Falling Water from any interior of the house.
Wow. Amazing. And I thought it was just the procrastination. So there you go.
No,
I'm sure you're right.
No, yeah. It's kind of classic Frank Lloyd Wright being a dick. Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. He designed it on the train there to visit him
because
he procrastinated so long. He got on the train and Kaufman gave him a deadline. So he had to get on the train. He got on the train with a pencil and paper.
Oh, Frank, what a card. What a card. All right, Ned, let's get down to business. 20 years ago, you started rethinking the buffet, which at that time very much needed a rethink. The state of the breakfast buffet in a lot of hotels was a mix of sadness and desperation and stale bagels. What were your marching orders from Holiday Inn?
I didn't ask, how can we have a better buffet? I asked a different question. And my question was, where do we like to eat when we're home? So you want to go out to a great meal, Matt and Jeff, you're home. How often do you say, I wonder where the nearest hotel restaurant is? You don't. So you say, where's a great restaurant? Where's a good restaurant? Where's a restaurant that I like? So the question that we asked was, how do we take what we call a breakfast bar in a limited service hotel with no kitchen and make it, give it the elements of a restaurant, make it attractive to the guest in a way that a restaurant is attractive. And we didn't try to turn them into restaurants, but we said, let's do some things restaurants do. And five things that we did, we said, let's brand it. It was branded Express Start. Let's create trade dress so it always looks the same. So it's like a restaurant chain and people are familiar with it. Let's create a proprietary signature item. So if I ask you your 10 favorite restaurants, you're going to be able to tell me the 10 things you love about that restaurant that no one else does. We said we've got to mandate certain ingredients. The customer has to always see A, B, and C when they're there. You can have variants, but if we have something that's extremely important, take coffee, for example, if that's different everywhere, then creating the feeling of a consistent breakfast is going to be hard. These are things that restaurants do, and we had an enlightened marketing team led by Jennifer Ziegler. We had a food and beverage team that wanted to go to work. We found a company that could help us create the trade dress and the equipment, group called Core Concepts near Boston. And we found some vendors that wanted to really participate in this, do more than just sell us things, but really participate. And
the rollout of the Express Start Breakfast Bar, it took about 100 days. And it may have been the single largest hotel food and beverage initiative in history. And Jeff was telling me he thinks it's about like 1,500 hotels at that time. At that scale, it seems almost impossible to achieve consistency. How did you do that? Because I feel like one of the issues that crops up when you're talking about any hotel is how do you maintain any level of quality and consistency from not just chain to chain, but from location to location?
Right. That's a great question. And that's the question. And so there are a couple of answers to that. One has to do with tracking purchasing. So our proprietary item was a cinnamon roll, and we had access to cinnamon roll purchases. And if a hotel did purchase any cinnamon rolls, we had a pretty good idea that we didn't have compliance with that at that hotel. So we could follow up with that hotel and say, I think you've forgotten to purchase your cinnamon rolls. But Holiday Inn also had a great infrastructure. They had a quality team, I think maybe 100 or 200 people that really were key to this whole implementation process. They went to all the hotels on a periodic basis. But we also enlisted our vendors. So we worked with Royal Cup Coffee, and Ed Sellers was a VP and that led that effort for them. And they actually became an arm of this project. They were actually participants in the project. Their people would go to the hotels and help assemble the breakfast bars. And we had workshops and taught them how to do this. And it was just great fun and very exciting. And they would go there and make a coffee delivery. We had people who had eyes on the breakfast bar every few weeks because they had to go there to deliver coffee. And that helped. And these are the people that had already assembled the breakfast bar, so they knew what it should look like.
Going back for a second, why do you think, you know, the buffet, I think, is kind of a given up by a lot of hotels still. Why do you think Holiday Inn did this?
Well, all the hotels were doing, a version of a small buffet, as we call it, grab and go, right? I mean, it's the same idea. It's for convenience, and it's labor efficient. Up until 2017, there was really no cooking. There was a little heating, but there was no cooking. So it was efficient for the hotel to do it. But they also, Holiday Inn wanted to remain competitive, and it's a well-known brand, and they're Holiday Inn Express early on was a brand within a brand in a way. And so I believe this helped them with their identity, and it certainly helped with their scores and eventually with their revenue.
Holiday Inn may have the most recently memorable ad campaign too. And I think they've just pulled out of the, I had a great night's sleep, the doctor.
I'm not a doctor, but I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express.
That's it. That's exactly it. So what was from your role in launching what became so known as this is what you need to go be great today, right? And and part of that, a major part of that was rolling out, here's a healthy breakfast that you start in your day, or a fast, efficient, and quality breakfast. How did that come to be? Who said, we need to do that, and it's going to be a hallmark of our brand?
Well, the marketing department came to the food and beverage department. So Jennifer Ziegler and her team came to the food and beverage team and said, we want something that's better than the competition has, and that's going to move the needle against the competition. And so that was really the starting point. And then the working with the quality team, the marketing team, all of the groups at IHG, we figured out that we needed to do, let's be more like a restaurant, because people want to eat at restaurants. People don't usually want to eat at hotels. They want to eat at restaurants. So why should we try to do what hotels do? Why don't we try to do what restaurants do? And the proprietary item is a big deal. I don't know that anyone else has done that. It was a lot of work, a lot of cost. Holiday Inn was And I'm not privy to details for the other brands, but Holiday Inn was willing to, and always has been with this, been willing to invest because they believed in the potential for improvement, and early testing showed that the improvement was probably real.
Can we go back and clarify for me outside of the industry what certain terms mean?
Sure.
For instance, trade dress. What is trade dress?
Well, trade dress is the unique look of a business, say a restaurant. So TGI Fridays is the easiest example, the red striped awning. Okay, so that's their design IP, if you will. They own that. And so if you have a TGI Fridays and it's, say it's removed or removed from a hotel, and there were a lot of Fridays in hotels, you couldn't keep the awning up, right? Because that belonged to Fridays. That's their trade dress. So trade dress is, again, it's kind of like intellectual property, but it's design that is owned by the concept.
Keeping with the restaurant metaphor, when you say proprietary signature item, I think you're mentioning cinnamon roll, but like say Olive Garden with the free breadsticks.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would count necessarily, but so something that you can kind of hang your hat on.
It does count, but you can't own it. It's hard to own a recipe, right? And a preparation. I mean, our recipe and preparation for the cinnamon roll was, top secret, et cetera, and under contract, but basically anyone can do a cinnamon roll. Right. And anyone can do a breadstick. But to this day, decades later, we still talk about the Caesar salad and the breadsticks. That travelers still talk about the cinnamon roll. I was on TripAdvisor today just to take a quick look. And there was a customer who said they had a wonderful vacation. They loved the Holiday Inn Express, but they were so disappointed that they were out of cinnamon. So it's a memorable thing.
Sequencing matters in this, right? At a dinner buffet, everybody knows you see how the low-cost food items are at the front, and people are supposed to fill up their plates, the breads and the salad and the pasta, and then they save, the prime rib carving station, the lobster tails. Those are all the way at the end, right? And it's just the economics of how it's laid out to make the thing work. But why does every hotel get this wrong with coffee, right? The cup goes before the coffee dispenser, and then you move backward to get the coffee, and then you have to go back past the cups to get the sugar, the creams on the other side. Henry Ford loses shit at 99% of American hotel breakfast facilities. What is hard about getting the sequence right?
Yeah, so not only is the sequence wrong everywhere, but I'm going to tell you the exception in a minute, but not only is the sequence wrong, but the coffee's in the wrong damn place. The coffee needs to be remote. You don't want to have your coffee and this guy's trying to make a pancake and this guy's trying to make a waffle. It's chaos. And then you're behind the person that wants to put cream in their coffee. And for those of us who drink it black, you just kind of want to get out of my way. But where's the cream? It's right in front of the coffee. So you have to stand there and block it while you're adding the cream. Bingo. The new Express Start design, and I was in one this morning, by the way, in Palm Desert, beautiful hotel, and a beautiful design. And by the way, when I say new, I mean 2017, 2018, rolled out in 2018. The new Holiday Inn Express design has remoted the coffee away from the breakfast bar. Thank you, God. And there's a big space for it, and there's space for the creamer over to the side. And I had nothing to do with it, but I'm going to tell you, it's the way coffee was meant to be served.
I've had a lifetime working for Marriott brands, Hilton brands.
Yeah.
So IHG is not, the family under the IHG umbrella is just not a set of brands I'm as familiar with. You've just given me my reason for going to a Holiday Inn Express now, just so I can finally experience what a breakfast situation is like when it's properly sequenced. I can't wait.
Well, great. Good. Yeah, I'll tell you that the new designs, the new hotels are going to have a total makeover where it's totally remoted. It's off to the side where it's not new. Some of the older hotels, it's hard to, because it takes a little more space, it's hard to do those adjustments. But I think you'll find it's remoted in some way. If the remote's a verb, I don't know.
Let's talk a little bit about the future.
Sure.
We've been going into hotels recently, and I'm seeing a lot of grab and goes. It seems like they're everywhere. It seems like COVID restrictions on food and bev kind of pushed forward this idea that, you know, you can't really have a lot of staff around. You know, the breakfast area downstairs is closed, but travelers maybe still want to get something to eat at different hours during the day, and they can't have human contact here and there for health reasons. That's eased up now, obviously, but I do feel like grab and goes have stuck around, and it seems like to fit kind of the modern American lifestyle and the American traveler. They've also evolved from being just kind of podunk prepackaged items to now kind of ritzier selection, like the very branded stuff that's down there and at a level that's a little bit higher. Is the grab and go here to stay? And what else is coming in the near future for my local hotel buffet?
I think it is. The customer wants what they want, when they want it, where they want it. This is almost goes directly to grab and go. I want to carry it. I want to eat it here. I want to eat it up in my room. I want it right away. And by the way, I don't want to pay a 30% markup for all gratuity and service charges and everything else that I pay if I have my meal up in the room. So the grab and go and the COVID impact on that may be proved to be very significant. But these other trends were happening prior to COVID, which is I'm independent. Give me what I want. It better be good quality. And better not, charge an exorbitant price for it. So those other factors are part of this grab and go trend, and I don't see those going away. And the industry has responded by making some very upscale, attractive, and easy to use packaging for this type of food as well. And now more so than ever, environmentally friendly packaging.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hope that continues.
I'm on record as having said that the buffet was dead, right? And this was in the early COVID days. I think I wrote an article and said something the effect of anything that has a sneeze guard will never exist again. So I'm frankly shocked and wrong that the buffet is back. And I think ultimately where I went wrong in my thinking was I ignored what I'm actually paid to do for a living, which is follow the economics. Right. The economics of the thing make too much sense. It had to come back.
Time is the commodity we haven't mentioned, but if I've got to go to the business meeting or I've got to go to Disney, get to Disney by the time it opens or whatever, there's a time constraint. When I go to a buffet, I'm controlling my time. When I order from the server, it controls my time. We did a program for a Holiday Inn menu. It lasted 18 years, and a mandatory requirement, and we inspected this, was to drop the check at breakfast with the meal. Serve the eggs, serve the check. Why? The customer's in control. You know what else we dropped? We dropped an empty coffee, a paper coffee cup with a lid. And that meant the customer could take the check or their own coffee. Oh, there we mandated a coffee pot on the table at breakfast. All of those things were about the customer controlling the experience. And I think that, and we had a signature item too, a cinnamon supreme French toast. Okay, so, but they really were about the customer controlling their experience and controlling their time. And I think that's a big factor in how's that going to go away?
What is something that you would universally hear complaints about when you would pull customers on the buffet?
I don't know if I have a specific answer to that. What we looked at the most was the ratings, the customer feedback on the ratings for things like selection and quality and cleanliness and all those things on the rating cards. We looked very carefully at that. We looked at that data for the competition as well. And I know that probably doesn't answer your question, but I think that the breakfast bars, when we started, were all the same. So it wasn't that the customer, we hadn't taught the customer that there are other possibilities. And I think that is one of the things that we were able to change, especially, again, by offering something proprietary on Express Start or even in Holiday Inn menu, with the Holiday Inn menu we did for 18 years had proprietary items on it.
What's another hotel brand that is getting it right?
You had a wonderful podcast about boutiques and lifestyle hotels the other day, and you talked about food and beverage. And the huge trend in the last decade or two in hotel food and beverage is that the hotels are becoming bar-centric. They have become bar-centric. Dinner in any hotel in America at dinner time, the bar is likely, more people are likely to be eating in the bar than they are in the dining room if they still have a dining room, which might in some circumstances be a bit of a dinosaur, right? So, but once you're at the bar, things like coffee and grab and go, and I want to come back to your grab and go issue, the bar is made for that, right? Because you've got an attendee, an attendant, we call a bartender in the evening, and maybe a barista in the morning. And so quite a few hotels have designed their bar with a good espresso maker and good coffee maker on the back bar, maybe adjacent to the liquor, and they're able to double that up. And I don't know who's doing that the most today. I thought Hyatt was an early adapter of that approach.
Does it anger you when you hear somebody say that Hampton Inn has the best waffles in the world?
No, it doesn't anger me. they do. I was just to prep for this because I travel a lot less than I used to, and I went to Hampton. I went to Fairfield. We have three Holiday Inn Express hotels in the area, so I went to all of them. They're all serving the cinnamon roll. Good job, people. No one's cheating. No one's trying to save 20 cents a roll by going to Walmart anymore. So, I saw a lot of waffles everywhere else at the other brands. Nothing proprietary, you know. So nothing, you know, if there's not something I can't get somewhere else. But if Hampton somehow has the best waffle, if they're doing something about, they've got a very nice waffle display. What I saw was very well done.
Yeah. One of the things that I think has made them, that part of Hampton Inn brand so successful, is the personal touch that goes with it. The best thing you ever tasted, if you made it yourself to your specifications, and they have so many ways to do it, but they also provide with Hampton team member favorite recipes, a kind of waffle of the day. You know, this is Matt at the front desk's favorite waffle, and he puts, you know, this is how I make mine on chalkboard or something like that. The combination of personal touch there, I think, kind of separates what they do in a real, real nice way.
Sounds great. Agreed.
In terms of quantity, what percent of guests do you think just gorge themselves thinking, I can get a whole day out of this?
I don't know. I hear very few franchisees complain about it. I mean, franchisees complain about cost always, regardless of anything else, period. And I spent a lot of my life on the road at franchise meetings and listening and learning. And yes, there are stories about that happening, but it's really the exception that proves the rule, and you just kind of average out your costs with that expectation. But yes, it happens. I witnessed it personally in 2018, working on the third iteration of this concept.
The thing that comes to mind when I think of the gorging or the buffet, the downside and all the joking you would do, is Golden Corral. It has about 500 locations, and it gets that, it brings that all you can eat right to the forefront. It comes with a lot of scrutiny, but what's made that chain so successful?
Well, I think their design and their offering, their design supports the idea of a lot of choice. When you go into one, you know, the traditional buffet, quote, cafeteria in America has always been a linear line of food. And Golden Corral started with stations. And I think that made a huge difference. And by the way, Sizzler did some of that. Sizzler was probably the original, right? 1952 or so. And so you look at old pictures of Sizzler and you see that as well. Not Sizzler anymore. But and I agree with you, by the way, Golden Corral is a big success. Back to the Holiday Inn thing on the new design, the Holiday Inn Express. The new hotels are designed so you can close the doors at 10 a.m. when you're closed. So that's a factor that helps a lot. The older Holiday Inn Express hotels, there were no doors to close or anything. So your people can get in at all times and stay and hang around and all that. So they do close the doors. That's part of how they help control their costs. And you will be delighted to learn that the coffee station is remote and is not, the doors are not closed to the coffee.
Ned, at the end of every episode, we close with a mystery question, which I typically give Jeff. This week, I will be directing that mystery question at you. This one's easy. What is a typical breakfast for you?
Oh, that is easy. And by the way, menu, this is important to understand in food service development. Breakfast is a habit. Dinner might be is indulgent. Lunch is functional. And breakfast is a habit. That's one of the reasons we could do breakfast menus at Holiday Inn much easier than we could do a dinner menu. Although they did that without me. They did, and they did it well. Answer to the question is eggs, low-carb, good seed bread and butter, and, oh my God, coffee. Good coffee.
In the right sequence.
Actually, coffee should have come first. But it's simple. It really very simple breakfast. I mean, eggs, protein. That's low carbs, right? Protein and coffee and a low carb bread and butter. Yeah. Can't beat it. I do trade up to an omelet once in a while. I must confess.
Well, there you have it, folks. Ned, thank you so much for being part of No Show, and we will talk to you soon.
Okay, it was a pleasure. It was a lot of fun.